Welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower, here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey, Katie.
Hello. It must be Green Day. I didn't know.
I know. Look.
I guess, well, I did know.
It's because, by God, it's spring. Idaho, listen up. No, we're gonna have snow all weekend because, you know, it's Easter. So, of course, we will.
Oh, my gosh. How many Easter egg hunts did we do in the snow?
The majority of them?
Mm-hmm.
I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But whatever. It's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
You know us. We're not happy if we're not bitching about the weather because we're from Idaho.
Well,
that is a storied and respected pastime here.
It's our birthright. But once Easter's over, things usually straighten up. So we had a good run there for a few years where we camped Easter weekend every year. And then it's just gotten too wet and shitty to do that.
Can't do it anymore. Nope.
I know. I wish we were camping. Wouldn't that be great?
I know. I do too. My motorhome's sitting in my driveway just waiting.
I know. Just soon. Waiting. Soon. Yes.
Soon. Definitely. Well, we better get started. This is a roundup. And we normally do 6 cases. But today we're doing 5 because we both found this first case so damn creepy that we both picked it. So we're going to kick this right off with a little creepy crime. So, Katie, tell us a little bit about this very creepy crime.
Imagine, if you will, a scene where a man in all in black in a scream mask comes charging onto your property and proceeds to stab you and cut you up with a chainsaw. Just imagine that. And you'll go straight to a horror movie, right? Like, we've seen this in the films. Only in this case, this did not happen in a film. This happened in real life. God, so Zach Moyer has been charged with criminal homicide in connection to the death of his neighbor, Edward Whitehead Jr.
I think somebody got a good smack in on him, at least. He's got a black eye.
He looks like it. I wonder if he fought the police. But
I'm going to bet, yeah.
Yeah. This happened in Pennsylvania just a few days ago. And he told the police when they showed up that, first of all, the police surrounded the house. And he started communicating with the police by notes in the window. Which to me is also creepy as hell in like horror movie.
So creepy. This guy's got issues.
And telling the police that essentially he had to kill the neighbor because the neighbor has committed a lot of crimes.
Oh,
the cops are like, no, that's not. No, we're here because you committed crimes. We can deal with that later if that's true. I'm wondering if it's just not. And we have some serious paranoia going on here. Or if this is just a case of the drugs. But yeah, terrible.
Yeah. Just really sad. Really sad for everyone all around. And scary as hell. I cannot imagine somebody coming for you like that with a chainsaw and a scream mask on. I'm going to say something so inappropriate, but this is true crime. Mm-hmm. It was a battery-powered chainsaw, which means it was not a very good chainsaw.
Yeah.
So, yikes.
Yeah. Big yikes on that. Yes.
Yeah.
So Zach's sister says he's been talking about murdering that guy for weeks.
Hello?
I think she
see something, hear something, say something. Jesus.
That's hard, though, because you never know. People say, you know, I'd like to kick that guy's ass and wouldn't actually kick that guy's ass. But no, he meant it. I know.
But murdering someone is a little different.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm thinking she's probably lucky to come out of this with her life, too, because something went horrifically wrong.
Something went very, very wrong. But, you know, if someone in your family starts talking about murdering somebody, you really should be getting them some help.
Yeah.
Just across the board, get them some help. Tell people, ask for assistance. Like, really, it's okay to take these things seriously, even if it turns out to not be a serious problem. You know, I think I would much rather be wrong.
Yeah.
Then later go, wow, he has been threatening to kill that neighbor for a while. I guess I didn't. Damn.
So I don't know if we'll ever learn what the crimes are that he's accusing the neighbor of. Or if that's a real thing or if it isn't. I'm assuming it isn't. But, yeah, you know, the whole thing is pretty wild. So who the hell knows at this point?
It is, definitely.
But lots of love to both of those families because, dear God, what horror for both of them.
Absolutely. That is so sad.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, I'm going to kick the mic over to you for a missing person spotlight.
Yes. Okay. There has been a college student missing in Corpus Christi, Texas, for about 3 weeks. And honestly, I hadn't covered it because there were some other missing college, another missing college student at the time, Riley Strand. Of course, there's Sebastian Rogers is still missing. And somehow this one fell through the cracks to me. But I picked it up today and really wanted to share this. This is Caleb Harris. So Caleb is 21. He's a Texas A&M student. And he vanished in the middle of the night or early in the morning, sometime on March 4th. So the police have just released a timeline. So I want to share the timeline with you. I'm going to share another picture of Riley, too.
Not Riley, right, Caleb?
Or, I'm sorry. I'm stuck on Riley now. Caleb, yeah, I'm sorry. That's where my head was, on Caleb Harris. So let's talk a little bit about Caleb and what he was doing that might help. So they have interviewed his roommates, his friends, his family. They've been through many, many hours of surveillance videos. I mean, the police are busting their butts on this case, but they're just getting nothing. So they have a timeline now for the night that he disappeared. And apparently, he spent the evening, that was a Sunday evening on March 3rd, inside of his apartment. He lived off campus. Oh, good Lord. Scott just came home. So you're going to hear some serious dog celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of sounds like they're being killed, but they're just excited. They really love their dad. So he and his roommates had been playing video games. And then another classmate came over and visited for a while. And then around 1 a.m., there's a doorbell cam that shows him and a friend and another roommate in the parking lot playing with a puppy that belonged to one of the girlfriends of one of the roommates. And everything seems completely normal and fine. Oh, good Lord. Sorry, you guys.
Doug's really happy to see their dad.
Mm-hmm. You'd think he'd been gone for 3 years, not 3 hours. And he's out there desperately trying to get them to be quiet.
He knows you're recording.
He knows I'm recording. I can hear him like, stop, you guys, stop. Lord, what we put up with. So things seemed totally normal. About 2:20 a.m., one of the roommates says that he's going to bed. And he says that Harris said he was going to stay up and order snacks from Uber Eats for his school lunch the next day. And if you're wondering if this is all literally happening in the middle of the night, yeah, it is. Yeah. So at 2:44 a.m., at 2:44 a.m., he shares a Snapchat video with his little sister that shows him walking a puppy, the puppy in question. And then that's at 2:44. At 3:03, he sends a Snapchat photo to a friend. And the photo is a small bridge over a drainage ditch on the 1900 block of Ennis Jocelyn, which is just a few hundred feet from his apartment complex. Okay. At 3:12, his cell phone shares its last location data right there in that area. At 3:20, the Uber Eats driver delivers his food to his apartment and leaves it outside the front door. That's what they know. Around 11 a.m. the next morning, one of the roommates leaves the apartment and sees this food sitting out the door. They're like, what the hell? His truck is still in the parking lot. Caleb's wallet and keys were left behind in the apartment, and everything seems to be there except for him and his cell phone.
Wow.
So his roommates say he was a homebody and a creature of habit. This was very odd for him. They were immediately like, no, something is absolutely wrong. So they look and contact friends for a minute, and then they call the police and say something is wrong. He's missing. Since then, they have checked all of the hospitals. They have checked neighboring apartment complexes. They have had searches upon searches upon searches for this kid. They haven't found anything. No evidence of violence. No evidence of a struggle in his car, in his room, around the apartment complex. Nothing.
Wow.
They, all of his stuff, like he had guns and fishing gear and waders and, you know, valuable things like that in the apartment that are still there. His laptop is still there. All of his stuff is there. Everything's there but him and his phone. And that's what they know. They have checked surveillance video over 50 businesses and private residents and all around the apartment complex. They've received video from 27 different locations. They have reviewed 600 gigabytes of electronic data so far.
Mm.
They're all over it.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have nothing. The boy vanished.
That's so odd.
Only he didn't vanish. Somebody knows something. Somebody probably knows everything about what happened to Caleb. So I wanted to feature him because his family is hurting. They're scared. They're terrified.
I cannot imagine to go this long with no answer. No way is it going to be good news.
Yeah. His friends, his roommates, like, this is the worst horror. So I'm going to share his missing poster one more time. And again, this was in Corpus Christi, Texas. But per always, if you see something, say something. Even if you saw something that seems to be insignificant or just kind of weird or off, say something.
Yes. Damn.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. That is Caleb Harris. Again, I did it.
Too many missing young men.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's see, Christy, I don't actually know what we have next.
It's me with a crime news update.
Okay.
Well, there's a little update in Brian Koberger, the accused murderer of the Idaho 4 college students out of northern Idaho, Moscow, Idaho. Apparently, his defense attorneys have taken a little page out of the Gabel Vallow casebook.
Oh, dear God.
They have been trying to pull potential jurors.
Oh, I did see this. Yeah.
There was a survey out there to try to pull potential jurors. And if you recall, that happened fairly early on in the Dave Alvallo case. Mm-hmm. And they got in big trouble for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what the thing is, the venue has not been changed for this case yet. We think it will be. Mm-hmm. We don't think it's going to actually happen in Latah County. It's too small of a juror pool. Mm-hmm. But the judge is like, hold the phone. Judge did not like this at all and has ordered that neither side should be polling jurors ahead of a venue change. There's a venue change hearing coming up that may move the trial, and they just shouldn't be messing around with the jury pool, period.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, we saw this with the defense in Dave Alvallo, and they were polling the jury in like Fremont County and Madison and kind of surrounding counties.
Right. We got called. My house got several calls. Yeah.
I don't know where they were polling But it's just not smart to do. Yeah. And there are very specific rules around doing it. And just getting started doing it on your own seems to always get you in trouble.
Well, that's why Dave Alvallo got in trouble, because they had hired a survey firm to do it that wasn't qualified to do this kind of surveying.
Right. And I don't know, because they haven't had a hearing on this yet. The judge just halted it and said, until we have a hearing and can talk about this, knock it off.
Yeah.
So Ann Taylor, Koberger's defense attorney, argued that the survey that the defense was conducting met the legal standards warranted in a potential death penalty case. And remember, this is one of those things, right, where a death penalty jury, all of the people on that jury have to have agreed that they can give someone the death penalty.
And they don't have a moral or religious
opposition
to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ann Taylor is also saying that because the judge made the order before they've actually had a hearing about it, that his 14th Amendment rights to due process were violated. Judges halt things all the time and then have a hearing about it. This is not unusual. So what Judge wrote was, both parties are prohibited from contacting potential jurors about this case, including via third parties, until further order of the court. Mm-hmm. And a hearing on this will be held as soon as possible. So should be interesting to see what happens with this. I honestly, it's there because they're trying to prepare for the change of venue hearing.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the defense is going to try to keep the, I think they're probably going to try to keep the case in Latah County, and the prosecutor's office wants to move it out. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be much of a question about
it. It absolutely can't be there.
It just can't. It's
way too small. They just don't have a big enough jury pool. Yeah.
No. Yeah. So.
Poor Ada County.
I know.
They're going to get another one. Yep.
They probably are. So I guess what they did is they hired a psychologist named Brian Edelman to conduct the polling. And that the questions were mostly about media influence. The thing is, we all know that this case is national. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a question that there's a lot of media.
Yeah.
Around the case. Like, I don't even think any of that even needs to be argued, to be perfectly honest. It's pretty obvious to everyone that those are issues that are going to be a part of this as it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, you know, and of course, this defense team, man, they cry constitutional rights violations right and left.
They do.
So we shall see what the judge has to say. If eventually he actually does allow the polling, the defense says that they are not disclosing any information that they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Latah. It is Latah County that they've been trying to poll.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Let's see what people are aware of, you know, about the case. So see, I just think it's kind of pointless at this point. There is no way that jury is going to come out of Latah County.
There's no, absolutely none. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What Judge has to say.
We'll find out.
Yeah. All right. Katie, you have a little bit of WTF news for us.
I do. This is Venzio Jewelers. Venzio has befallen a bad fate. They are the victims of a jewel robbery.
Oh, boy.
And it is as Ocean's 11 as you can imagine.
Is it?
Pretty much. So this happened a few days ago, and it happened at Venzio Jewelers at Ocean County Mall in New Jersey.
Okay.
And the store next door to the mall was an empty spot, an empty building, empty space.
Mm-hmm.
And the jewelers, or the thieves, excuse me, broke into that space and then cut a hole in the wall and managed to steal $1 million worth of jewelry.
Oh, geez.
Looking in there from the adjacent wall. They also cut the cables and phone lines to Benzio Jewelers. This happened sometime on Wednesday between 8 p.m. and Thursday at 10 a.m. So sometime in the night, I'm going to assume.
Mm-hmm.
So people showed up to work Thursday morning and holy shit, we've got some big problems. So the hole that they cut gave them access to the jeweler's back office. And they also opened their safe. They had a big, large safe that they opened. Big, large. I said that.
it was huge.
And large. Yeah. they opened that with a torch.
Wow. There was a lot of planning that went into this.
A lot of planning, and they obviously had plenty of time.
Yeah, they knew. They must have known they had plenty of time.
Yeah. So, of course, there's, you know, an epic investigation going on now into who in the hell did this and how they got away with it and how they got out. I am curious to know how they knew where to cut to get into the jeweler's back office where a lot of the things would be that they need. Also, how they knew, like, just the layout and what kind of a torch they would need to cut the safe open and... Yeah, sure seems like it. So anyway, police are mystified at this point, but they're working on it. So hard yikes. I hope they figure this one out. Somebody's going to be fencing a lot of jewelry somewhere.
It's just sad to see people's livelihood get attacked.
Yeah.
Somebody owns that jewelry store and pays their employees. And, you know, it's just not right. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All righty. Well, you're going to end us out with what?
Some dumb criminals.
Oh, we'll take it. Our favorite.
I love that little video I made for dumb criminals. It's so funny. But this is not funny, except that they are dumb and got caught. But these two stable geniuses right here tried to sell their newborn twins for $5,000.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at these idiots. They're smiling in their mugshots. Like, what are you doing? So, this is Zachary Davis and Jacqueline Keith. And they're actually being charged with human trafficking. So, apparently, they tried to sell their newborn twins to a relative. Mm-hmm. I don't know what made them think that people were not going to report this, right? So it was Zachary Davis's sister-in-law who called the police and said that they had talked to her and told her that they wanted to sell her their daughters for $5,000. And that she had screenshots and a video of the conversation. Like, talk about dumb criminals. My God. First of all, you're trying to sell your children to your relatives. Yeah. We are not talking genius material here.
No.
You know, they say, oh, it was a joke. They wouldn't have really followed through. But the sister-in-law felt like it was not a joke. And that they were not joking at all, that they were absolutely serious. And that she was very concerned that if she did not buy the babies, who would buy the babies? These two look very young, maybe very unprepared to have twin babies. I don't know. But they are charged.
Maybe that doesn't mean you get to sell them.
No, it definitely does not. And it is not. That is not funny to joke about. And if somebody jokes about selling their kid because they're in trouble, there is not an actual like dollar amount discussed. And like, you're not really trying to set up a deal, but these two idiots did. So hopefully this means those babies will go somewhere else forever, because these people certainly don't deserve to have them. And good on the sister-in-law for speaking up and sharing this information with the police and taking this seriously. Because I mean, the sad thing is that this literally does happen, and it happens right here in the United States. And it's terrifying and scary. I mean, who, like, what if they found somebody that said yes?
Right.
And took those babies to where? For what purpose?
To some fate worse than death, probably.
I mean,
okay. So, new business idea. Not business, new website idea. You know that hireahitman.com site?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody, not me, needs to come up with a site like that that pretends like they're on the dark web.
Yeah.
And is the, you know, sellyourkid.com. And just maybe some of these fools that would sell their children to traffickers would get caught up in this, and we would save some children that way.
It would be worth it, because hireahitman.com just caught another hitman, another attempt at trying to get somebody killed, because people be stupid.
Yep.
And fortunately,
these two fools would have gone there. They would have gone there.
To have done this with a family member who knows them, and to the level of which that this person was afraid that they really would sell their kids.
Yeah.
My God. So they're in jail.
Scary.
Let's hope they stay there a long time and that these babies are okay. And it is a great example of see or hear something and say something. Say something. Always.
Yep.
It's so much better to be wrong.
Yeah.
Than it is to be right after the fact.
Yeah. What if these babies would have managed and this girl would have gone, holy shit.
She would have really did felt it. Terrible. And those children could have been gone to who knows who.
Yep. For what purpose? Yeah.
We live in a crazy fucked up world, you guys. These days, I just don't think that you can really not take things like that seriously.
Yeah. Because people are wild.
Mm-hmm. They are. And it's and the truth is that those things are happening, and they're happening right here in the United States.
Absolutely.
The idea that this is stuff that happens from outside the country, and it's illegals that do these things. And I don't use that term. I use undocumented. But, you know, I'm quoting a bunch of bullshit. No, those things are happening right here in the U.S., Americans, white people, you know, committing crimes like this. And we need to get a lot smarter about recognizing when somebody is not kidding.
Yep.
So good on the grandma.
Yikes, yikes. Yeah, good on her.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for us. We're headed off to crank out a couple of brand new Patreons for you, because it's the end. And of course, we always do them at the very last second. But keep an eye out for that. If you didn't know, we are on Patreon. We do two extra episodes a month. And you can choose, you know, whether you get one or two, whether you get them by video or by audio. We have some different, you know, levels. Helps us pay the bills and support what we do and support our time. And we do appreciate that very much. So you can just is True Crime Squad over on patreon.com and check out. We have 4 years worth of content over there. And once you become a patron, you have access to all of it. So, I mean, if you want to binge True Crime Squad,
that'd be the way to do it. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
small spoiler alert. My episode for this month is called Naked and Not Afraid.
Oh, Lord. Well, my episode is about the Antwerp diamond heist. So it's going to be a good month. Naked and not afraid. Oh, no. I'm already afraid.
You should be afraid.
I'm sure. After my episode last month, which was called Keep It In Your Pants, also out of your pants.
Yeah. You inspired me.
Imagine what that's about.
Yep. You really inspired me. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. Go check us out on Patreon. And as always, we appreciate you all so very much. And you know it, we are the True Crime Squad.
Take care.